I'd like to ask you to turn in your Bibles to 2 Chronicles chapter 14. We're going to study the life, well, we're not going to study his life. We're going to hit some high points in his life here and there. The life of King Asa, which covers three chapters, chapters 14, 15, and 16 of 2 Chronicles. Very interesting story. And as we're reading this, I'd like to have you keep in mind Romans chapter 15, verse 4, for whatever things were written before were written for our learning, that we through the patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. So as we study the life of King Asa, let's allow the Lord to speak to us. Now, we don't have a lot of time, and I'm not going to read a whole lot. But we'll start with verse 1 of chapter 14. So Abijah rested with his fathers, and they buried him in the city of David. Then Asa his son reigned in his place. In his days, the land had quiet for 10 years. So we have 10 years of peace and quiet at the beginning of the reign of King Asa. Verse 2, and Asa did what was good and right in the eyes of the Lord. And in verses 3, 4, and 5, we read how he cleaned up the land, got rid of the idols, got rid of the high places, got rid of the incense altars. And in verse 6, it tells how he built fortified cities. And the end of that verse is because the Lord had given him rest. So he has peace and rest. There's no trouble with the neighboring kingdoms. So they're building these cities. The Lord is prospering them. And we read in verse 7, the end of verse 7 says, they built and prospered. So they have peace and prosperity and rest. And in verse 8, and Asa had an army of 300,000 from Judah who carried the shields and spears, and from Benjamin 280,000 men who carried shields and drew bows. And all these were ready men of valor. Well, it sounds like he's prepared for anything. We're talking about, 580,000 soldiers here. Verse 9. Then Zerah the Ethiopian came out against them with an army of 1,000,000 men and 300 chariots. So now what do? Peace and prosperity for 10 years. Got a large army in reserve. And an enemy comes with almost double the size of your enemy. Well, King Asa started out good. Verse 11, and Asa cried out to the Lord, his God, and said, Lord, it is nothing for you to help, whether with many or with those who have no power. Help us, O Lord our God, for we rest on you. And in your name we go against this multitude. O Lord, you are our God. Do not let man prevail against you. And so the Lord struck the Ethiopians. You know, so it wasn't Asa and his army. It was the Lord that struck them. And the Ethiopians fled. And Asa and the people who were with him pursued them to Gerar. So the Ethiopians were overthrown, and they could not recover. And they were broken before the Lord and his army, and they carried away very much spoil. So now only do they have, not only do they have peace and prosperity again, not only are they resting, but they have much spoil, so they're even richer than when they started out. In verse 15, or chapter 15, things continue on good. The prophet comes out and tells him, the Lord is with you. While you are with him, while you seek him. If you seek him, he will be found by you. But if you forsake him, he will forsake you. So he's got a warning here. Peace and prosperity for 10 years. A major crisis. The Lord gives him victory. And now comes this warning. Verse 3, and for a long time Israel has been without the true God, without a teaching priest, and without law. But when in their trouble they turned to the Lord God of Israel and sought him, he was found by them. Verse 7, but you be strong And do not let your hands be weak, for your work shall be rewarded. So he's got this encouragement to be strong, to continue on seeking the Lord. Verse 8, and Manasseh heard these words and the prophecy of Oded, the prophet, he took courage and removed the abominable idols in all the land of Judah and Benjamin and from the cities which he had taken in the mountains of Ephraim. And he restored the altar of the Lord which was before the vestibule of the Lord. So he continues on with this revival, cleaning up the land. And in verse 9, he gathered all Judah and Benjamin and those who dwelt with them from Ephraim and Manasseh and Simeon, for they came over to him in great numbers from Israel when they saw that the Lord his God was with them. So Asa is really doing a good job. Verse 16 is very interesting. How far is he willing to go in this cleaning up of Judah? Verse 16, and also he removed Machah, the mother of Asa the king, from being queen mother because she had made an obscene image to Asherah. And Asa cut down her obscene image, then crushed and burned it in the brook Kedron. He removed his own mother from the position of queen mother because of the idol that she had built. Now this man is serious about walking with the Lord, serious about revival, serious about cleaning up the kingdom of Judah. Now, peace and prosperity, things are going very well. Verse 19, and there was no war until the 35th year of the reign of Asa. So we've got 25 years now of peace and prosperity. Things are going well. He cleans up the nation religiously, got rid of the idols. But something happens. In verse 2, we hear that, let's read verse 2. And then Asa, we got to read verse 1. In the 36th year of the reign of Asa, Baasha, the king of Israel, came up against Judah and built Ramah. And then he let none go out or come in to Asa, king of Judah. So what does Asa do? He apparently forgot what happened 25 years ago. He says, he brought the silver and the gold from the treasuries of the house of the Lord and from the king's house and sent to Ben-Hadad, king of Syria, who dwelt in Damascus, saying, let there be a treaty between you and me, as there was between my father and your father. See, I have sent you gold and silver. Come break your treaty with Baasha, king of Israel, so that he will withdraw from me. Now, I'm not going to read all the verses. There will not be time. But what happened? It worked. Instead of looking to the Lord, he gets the treasures out of the temple and gives them to Ben-Hadad, and the king of Israel stops building his fortress cities, and there's again peace. And then they go and take the building stones, the building material, from the cities that the Israelites were building and build their own fortified cities, and things are going on very well. But, verse 7, and at that time, Hanani, the seer, came to Asa, king of Judah, and said to him, because you have relied on the king of Syria, and have not relied on the Lord your God, therefore the army of the king of Syria has escaped from your hand. Were the Ethiopians and the Libyan not a huge army with very many chariots and horsemen, yet because you relied on the Lord, he delivered them into your hands. For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong on behalf of those whose heart is loyal to him. In this you have done foolishly. Therefore, from now on, you shall have wars. And the next verse is so sad. Then Asa was angry with the seer and put him in prison, and he was enraged at him because of this. And Asa oppressed some of the people at that time. After 25 years, things going well, prosperity. He makes a foolish choice. Instead of looking to the Lord, he looks to men. And it worked. You know, we can make some very foolish choices in our life, and they might work for a while. But when somebody comes with good counsel, like the seer here, the prophet, what had happened in Asa's heart that he put the prophet in prison because he told him the truth? After 25 years of the Lord's blessing, well, not only 25, it was 35 years. This was in the 36th year of his reign. All of a sudden, was it all of a sudden? I don't think so. Let's look at the very last verse of chapter 16. We're not going to read the whole verse, but Asa died. He was buried in his own tomb. It says they made a great burning for him. So at the end of his life, they make a big bonfire. Lots of smoke and ashes, and that's all that's left to remember King Asa by. 36 years. Somebody reminded me the other day, you know, it's not how you start out, it's how you finish. Asa started out well and finished up very poorly. And I don't think that it happened all at once. I don't think that Asa went along fine for 35 years and then all of a sudden everything fell apart. I believe that King Asa was leaving things in his life, not dealing with things. He was getting too comfortable. I'm reminded of Proverbs chapter 30, verse 8. Remove falsehood and lies far from me. Give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with the food allotted to me, lest I be full and deny you and say, who is the Lord? Or lest I be poor and steal and profane the name of my God. The king forgot where his strength was. The king forgot what the Lord had done for him 25 years earlier. He forgot that the Lord is the same. He doesn't change. But the king had changed. The king had been letting things slide in his life. My wife says that the things that we don't deal with in our life when we're younger are the things that dominate our life when we're older. If we're not learning to cope with life when we're young, we're certainly not going to be able to do it when we're old. If we're allowing ourselves to be selfish, impatient, angry, the older we get, we will be more selfish, more impatient, and more angry. You know, you don't suddenly become a grumpy old man or a grumpy old woman. You've got to work at it. And I think King Asa worked 25 years at it. And at the end of his life, he was useless for the Lord. If we're not dealing with sin in our life now, if we're not learning to walk with the Lord, if we are not learning to allow His Holy Spirit to control our thoughts, our feelings, the older we get, with less ability to cope with different things, the worse these things are going to be in our life. The sins of a character which we leave in our life today are going to be the things that dominate our life in the years to come. I'd like to call your attention to the Apostle Paul. Philippians chapter 3, verse 12. Paul says, not that I have already attained or am already perfect, but I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal of the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Now there's two ways to forget. King Asa forgot where his strength was. King Asa forgot what the Lord had done for him. King Asa forgot who the Lord was. He forgot who he was himself. Paul wanted to forget the things that he had achieved and continue on as though he hadn't achieved anything yet, because he realized that his life wasn't over. And there were other things for him in the future, and he needed to continue on in the race until the race was over. Like, we need to remember, it's not over till it's over. In the Christian life, there's no vacation. And there's no retirement. Paul wasn't ready to take a vacation. He was writing this from prison. And we might think that Paul had earned the right for a little bit of self-pity. He wrote to Timothy, "At my first defense, no man stood with me. All forsook me. May it not be charged against them." And he also wrote in the same book, 2 Timothy, "This you know, that all those in Asia have turned away from me." Well, maybe Paul had a right to some self-pity, but he didn't use it. Because he knew that if he started giving in to feeling sorry for himself, it would just go on and on. There was a race ahead of him yet, and he wasn't finished. No vacation from the Christian life. No retirement from the Christian life. I was like one of the quotes from Bob Jones. He said, "For the Christian, all ground is holy ground. Every bush is a burning bush. You don't get away from it. Until the Lord takes us out of this life, our responsibility is to walk in holiness, walk in obedience, and allow Him to be dealing with us, teaching us, conforming us to the image of His Son." Another thing that my wife keeps reminding me of: at all times, we as Christians must be judging our thoughts, judging our feelings, judging our words, judging our actions. Just because I feel a certain way doesn't make it right. And I do not have the right to jump on people, crab at people, because I don't feel good today. Maybe that's what happened with King Asa. Wasn't feeling good. Didn't like what the prophet had to say. And rather than react in the spirit, he reacted in the flesh. But I believe that for 25 years, he'd been training himself to react in the flesh. Just because I feel a certain way doesn't mean I have to express it. In 2 Peter, chapter 1, Peter gives us some very important instructions. We're told in verse 3 of chapter 1, "As His divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him who called us by glory and virtue, by which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption of the world through lust." being partakers of the divine nature. Isn't that tremendous? We are partakers of the divine nature through our identification with the Lord Jesus Christ. Having escaped the corruption of the world in the world through lust. Now in verse 5. But also for this very reason, because of who we are, because of whom we are identified with, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge self-control, and to self-control perseverance, and to perseverance godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. Now, how many messages could we get out of that verse? Just want to touch on it this morning. We are to diligently be adding to our faith the Christian virtues mentioned in chapters 5, 6, and 7. Diligently be doing it. Not taking a vacation. Not deciding, well, I've done enough. Now I'm just going to sit back and let somebody else do it. Because when we start to rust, we just go to pieces. We diligently continue on. Not as though we've already finished the race. We continue on until the Lord says it's over. Verse 8 of chapter 1 of 2 Peter. For if these things are yours and abound, you will be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. At the end of Asa's life, what do we have? Smoke and ashes. Big bonfire. I'm reminded of 2 Corinthians, or 1 Corinthians 3:13, no? Talking of those who are saved, yet so is by fire. The Lord's children, they get to heaven, but their hands are empty. They have nothing. That's what we have with King Asa. He had nothing. The end of his life is known for a big bonfire and smoke and ashes. For if these things are yours and abound, you will be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For he who lacks these things, and I think maybe this is what happened in King Asa's life. For he who lacks these things is short-sighted, even to blindness, and has forgotten that he was cleansed from his old sins. Short-sighted, blind, forgetting that we were cleansed from our old sins. You know what happens when we forget? You just fall right back into them. The Christian life is a life of going on. Therefore, verse 10, therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your call and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never stumble. For so an entrance will be supplied to you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Where are we in our walk with the Lord? You know, it has nothing to do with chronological age. It has nothing to do with the years you've been a Christian. You could still be a carnal Christian after knowing the Lord for 40 years. But let's press on. It's not over till it's over. Today we can decide, I will walk with the Lord. I will repent of my sin. I will repent of my attitude. I will repent of the wrong relationships which I've allowed in my life. And I will get things right, and I will go on. And I won't rest on what I've already achieved, but I will press forward to what the Lord has for me in the days that remain. New Christians, young Christians, deal with things in your life. Deal with your character sins, your personality sins. Because if you don't, in 40 years, they're going to dominate your life. And those of us who are older, been walking with the Lord for years, we're still here. The Lord has us in this body for a purpose. And He still wants to use us. And He can use us. Here am I, Lord, send me, use me. But let's be usable. Let's be confessing and dealing with the character sins. The things that harm our relationships with other people. And let's let the Lord's love and patience and grace flow through us. Let's pray. Father, we thank You that You are our God. We thank You that You have saved us. Father, we're getting into the Christmas season and the world is celebrating. They don't even know what they're celebrating. But Father, we know. We know that You sent Your Son to this world for the express purpose of having a human body so that He could die for our sins. Father, we thank You for His obedience. We thank You for the new life that we have in Him. And Father, may we allow You to be busy in that job of conforming us to the image of Your Son. Through all things that You permit in our life. Father, may we glorify You. May we praise You for all things. In Jesus' name, amen.